Hello and welcome to a Taylor's Tales podcast. This is Chris Corner. I'm your host, Chris Taylor. And today we're doing a nice little catch up. We've had four podcasts so far. And they've been all over the place. We've had a nice little intro to the podcast. We've had a chat with a fellow friend about travel. We've talked about going through Jocko's his strategy and tactics guide, part one. We've had a chat through Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring with Ollie Deacon. And this is podcast five already. We're already five deep in. I've already got another five lined up, but we'll talk about those later. But today we're just going to have a little chit-chat, you know, nice little refresher, something that's a little bit casual. I'm going to do these every five episodes. We're just going to have a nice little catch-up, little what's in the news, what's going on, what's the world of COVID, what's the new normal. Oh, that's so cringe, isn't it? So cringe. Oh, well, that's life. But first off, I've got a couple of things that I was thinking about, a couple of things that have been going on in the world at the moment. Seems to me that the world is on fire. California. We also had a comparison between a friend of mine sent a photo of like California on fire and then Blade Runner, and the colouring of Blade Runner to California on fire at the moment is just so similar. The orange tinge that seems to be coming up at the moment is madness. And to me, it just makes me a little bit sad, because it means that although we've got this COVID crisis going on, pandemic going on at the moment, it seems that there's very little changing at the moment for climate change. And I remember when I first was, it was like March, April, maybe even May time, probably May, because you wouldn't have the 2 months difference. I remember going outside and the air was fresher. And I spoke to someone's, one of the guys I was with the other day, and he agreed, and a dad agreed who's been around for a while. And he was like, yeah, the air's never been so clear, which says to me in a positive way is that if we get our acts together, we can sort of change the world very quickly if humanity sort of united. And that's a very idealistic viewpoint, very idealistic. It's so easy, so simple, but it's not really. It's taken a pandemic for us to realize that, oh, maybe we're the problem. I think we already knew we were the problem. It was just that there was very little we could want to change. So I think the main thing is wanting to change ourselves. And a lot of people are starting to realize what is important. I know it's made me think, made me really think, what is important? What do I need? And this podcast has come out of this COVID pandemic. I love it. I love what I've done so far. Each time I've talked to a person, it's been more fun. Every time, at the end of it, we've got a positive message coming out of each individual person, no matter who they've been. And it's been thoroughly enjoyable to record each one of these. This one right now, I love just having a little bit of therapeutic chat. I was talking to a friend recently saying that I don't like to put my problems on other people. That's something that I have stopped doing, stopped feeling like I'm just expressing my sort of viewpoints of the world to my family and friends and making them want to agree with me. That is something that I'm really trying hard to rein myself in, rein it in. Rein in the viewpoints, rein it in. And I've started over the past 12 days or so writing a journal so that I can channel that inner mind, inner thing to sort of move those ideas to paper. And it is the mental clarity that it creates from that is perfect. I'm no longer trying to get all of my ideas out to a person and get them to release it to paper instead. And it's exactly the same. It makes me feel very positive in that manner. So if you feel like you are have a lot of ideas in your head and they feel like they need to come out, and then and you don't want other people to feel that they're becoming your therapist for free, which is terrible, because having someone feel like you owe them something because you're just releasing, which is a lot of what's going on at COVID at the moment. I can tell that people want to chat. They want to have this sort of, I would call it a release. and it's not a sexual release, which is also something that's coming out of COVID at the moment. It's a mental release, this wanting of communication with others, this need, it's lacking. And that's also something that I've realized with conversations, is that I love it. I love having a convo, but I also want meaning out of it. I want it to be meaningful. I don't want it to be sort of gossipy. So this is what I'm not going to do with these catch-ups. I'm going to try and keep them very important, sort of stuff that I think has been meaningful. Again, that's an opinion. So I'm going to have to be sort of, I'm not going to tread on my words, because I also want to make this podcast very important to me as well as it is to others. And so I'm all over the place at the moment. And this is good, because at the same time, I've been making notes. So you'll see in these podcasts where I've got like written notes down for certain podcasts where I want to keep a stream sort of set structure for that podcast. And others I won't. Others I will just go with the flow and we'll just see how it goes. And sometimes, which two of them, which I've already pre-recorded for, have been fantastic just by throwing some questions out there. And you'll see I'm a little bit jazz handy sometimes. But when you're sitting in a corner where there's nothing but you and the camera lens, and you are just trying to work through some of the topics that you've got on your mind, a little bit of movement can actually relax the person you're either watching or who's listening. Because from a couple of psychology, I think it was something along the lines of, if you're smiling when you are on a phone call, people can tell mentally and through voice. It's almost like you're voicing some sort of opinion. So if you see me smile or if I'm laughing a lot through these podcasts, it's because I'm feeling that I'm trying to edge myself into some positivity, and also because the other person is actually saying something funny, not because I'm just trying to get a reaction out of it. And I'm also, because it's something to feel some positivity in the air and really try and break the tension between people as well. Because the first thing I've noticed is that not everyone is a conversationist, and they need a little bit of pulling them out, you know, pull them into to the conversation and make them try and express themselves, which is nice. And it's been excellent to see. So where was I going with that? I started with the California fires. I'm going to end with that, like pull it back in and sort of stretch it out a little bit at the same time. California, and I saw that Serbia was on fire. Serbia, where you sent people into the gulags to freeze to death, is on fire at the moment. If you don't believe in climate change, if that doesn't make you think, maybe we're burning too much carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide and all of these other chemicals that are burning the world to death, coming from the guy who, you know, takes the train everywhere. the hypocrisy that we have on a day-to-day basis is at high, but we also understand that we need to come up with something that's going to change this. Because I don't know, I'm starting to realize that people's freedom is what they value at the moment, and COVID's highlighted that. But at the same time, climate change is still happening. So it's this sort of, what do we do? On one hand, people want to go places, they want to travel, they want to see the world, which is great because it expands the mind and you understand different cultures. Brilliant. Expanding, something that I would recommend to so many other people, people who are younger, people who are older, doesn't matter. But on the other hand, we've got planes that are using huge amounts of fuel that we can't sustain. And we've also got trains and cars, and hopefully they're moving on to more electronic-based fuel. But at the same time, that doesn't necessarily help the sort of situation at the moment, because where does that electricity come from? Oh, it comes from either a nuclear power plant or a coal-based power plant or oil. So it's this sort of situation. So what can we do? And so many people have just said solar and air, and that's actually been implemented. And it's not. You've got certain countries like Iceland who are thoroughly benefiting from like thermal sort of based energy. But that's because their country is basically one big volcano. And so we've got that. But we don't necessarily, in countries like England, have that natural resource. So it's very questionable situation. I'm not going to get into too much depth over it, but I'll leave that question hanging in the air. We have these two things where people really want their freedom and they want to go places, and they also want to have a really nice lifestyle that they can't change now because society has gripped onto it. But on the other hand, we're sort of, we're having a party and we're starting to realize that the garbage we're going to have to collect after that party's over is going to be humongous, and mum and dad are coming home soon. Anyway, that was one of the first pieces of news. Serbia and California are on fire. Madness. And that to me just, it's huge. And politicians are getting hung up. Anyway, we're going to move on. Well, this is not a political podcast. I don't know why I'm bringing this up. It's just something that was on my mind and I thought it'd be nice to bring it up. You know, leave people with a couple of questions, something that maybe somebody might debate me on at some point. Who knows? Anyway, something else I saw, this is a little bit more lighthearted. I'm a big fan, as of course so many are, so many millions. Joe Rogan, new HQ, something that everyone's talking about at the moment, looks like the literal devil like the devil's cave, because of the color and the shape. It's kind of funny because if you look at my corner here, this sort of reddish burgundy color is very similar to what Rogan's got in his new setup in Texas, moved from California to Texas, which is very strange, but you know, nonetheless, it was intriguing to see. And his talk with, I think, with Adam Curry, the podfather, as he's known for being the first podcaster, brought some interesting topics up, something that made me really question some of the stuff that's going on in the podcast. I'm not going to get into it. Listen to it for yourselves. It is a long podcast. It is 3 hours long. I don't think that they cover so many different topics that it can kind of meld into one voice. But, you know, it's still fun to see that Rogan's created his own setup and that he is somebody to strive to look up to, and also somebody who makes all of his podcasts feel natural and inquisitive and looking to gain new knowledge without feeling. He states himself that he's a meathead and that he doesn't know a lot. But for someone who is like that, who doesn't have any like serious, you know, he doesn't have a degree or anything like that, he's so much smarter than people who do have that, which to me just brings into question what the university system is doing at the moment. But we won't get into that because that's another bag of worms to sort of get into. Anyway, Rogan has a sick new set. That's what I'm trying to say. It looks awesome. It looks great. He's gonna get hate for change because a lot of people dislike change. I think it's brilliant. Live long, my sir, and keep on rolling. I think it's something to strive for, all of us, for all of those who want their own setup and all those who want their own man cave and come from humble beginnings to that point, from seeing his first episode to now episode like 1,000, nearly, I think it's over 1,500, but something along those lines. Anyway, so I saw that. I've also seen a lot going on in the news recently when it comes down. So we've seen environment changes, we've seen that a lot of protests are still going on, and it's sort of calmed down a little bit. The world is trying to get back to normal. My worry is, and something that I have seen, is that a lot of young people are getting blamed for spreading the virus. I don't see any reports that are directly correlating behind it. There are photos on social media and stuff like that, and I'm sure there's evidence that it is probably people between the age of 16 to 25 and maybe 25 to 35, who knows. I can understand it, but at the same time, we sort of, again, it's like climate change again. We need to knuckle down and sort of get together and really think, is this worth it? Do we want a second spike? Is this going to happen? For me, I think it's going to happen. I think there's going to be a second spike coming up soon. I think that businesses are screaming out for employees to come back to London to be able to fill in the offices that are ghost towns at the moment. I really doubt that will be a I don't think that'll be a thing. I genuinely can't imagine people going back to London. I really can't. I think that there's been an increase, something along the lines of 5.5% increase in the economy during July. But is it going to get back to normal? Normalcy, 2019 and 2020 is just, it's just out of this world. It's huge. It's, I remember seeing on a geographical map, the economy's measurement from 2008, like where there's like a little graph that just sort of shows you where the dip is of 2008. And then you see what 2020 is, and it's a crater. It's a crater in the drop and in the lack of money. And no wonder 8 months of this is going to get to people. And I understand we're going to feel very caged at the moment, but the best way to deal with it is by dealing with it, by making yourself better and trying to help those around you. And don't get me wrong, I will be the biggest hypocrite of all time. I bring out opinions that I'm very strong against. I bring out stuff that I say that will be, give it 20 years time when I'm something like, you know, when I'm 45, I look back and think I'm a numpty. But nonetheless, this is what learning is about. You move on, you try and understand the world around you, try and comprehend it, and you try to become a better person. I think this is it. I think this is the perfect time for people to get better. And it worries me that the standard human being may not. But let's hope they do. I'm a positive person. I like to think that the world's made up of a lot of good people. I think that is that is a thing. As much as everyone likes to make out it isn't, I think there's going to be a lot of good things that can come out of this. And the fact that we saw what life can be like for the environment if we reduce driving and the effects it has. I think it was another statistic, something along the lines of that as soon as people slowly went back to work, the increase in carbon emissions went immediately spiked up, and we were back on the road to destroying the environment as well. So it's kind of like whatever we do at this moment, we either let the economy tank and we let people's health get back to normal, or we let people's health suffer because of COVID and we let the economy get back to a better place. Personally, I think that human life's more valuable than money, but at the same time, human life will decrease because of the economy. So people will have less jobs. There'll be less for people to eat. There'll be less healthcare because of this. The NHS will suffer, stuff like that. So as much as it's like, COVID, the economy sort of makes up for people to be able to get food and, you know, basics. So yeah. Didn't want to get that too serious there. This is meant to be a light-hearted podcast, but from some time to time I need to address things that are on my mind, and sometimes that's a good thing. And I didn't want that to become a therapeutic thought, but at the same time it did. So hypocrisy, thy name is Boone. You, that's what I meant. But nonetheless, next thing, let's bring on to something a little bit more fun. Sports. Some of you are going to immediately turn this podcast right now off because I'm going to talk about football, but whatever, you know, let's let those people leave, and the door is closed. So Chelsea FC, the best transfer window we've ever had. I am so excited for this coming season. Starts tomorrow. I think after my prediction about Bayern Munich, I'm not going to make any sort of predictions for Chelsea versus Brighton, because I saw in pre-season that Chelsea drew 0-0 is a friendly with Brighton, I think, and they're playing them tomorrow again. I just have a bad feeling. I don't know why. I'm probably being cautious. I'm not going to predict a score now, because doing that with Bayern Munich, I'm normally lucky once, you know. I have a lucky streak and then it just goes off. Just like the stock market, you know, just ups and downs. And I have a nice little luck streak, and then it's just negativity for the next like 2 months or whatever. But so Chelsea, fantastic buys. Chilwell, Havertz, Silva, Saar, you know, Werner and Hakim Ziyech. Like, I think it's a Ziyech actually. Sorry. Brilliant. The rest of this Premier League has been rather substandard. Not many big buys, which makes me think either Chelsea are the only team who are going to make big buys because they've got an owner who's willing to invest. And it does worry me a little bit for the other teams. As a Chelsea fan, obviously I want to root for Chelsea, but also I'm a big fan of seeing football thrive. Has COVID made owners think? Has the economy caused this to happen? So, for instance, Liverpool have only bought one player. They were champions last year. That doesn't mean that we see them become champions again. It'll be interesting to see if their squad can basically bounce back from last. So I don't mean bounce back, but like continue to thrive and continue to make everyone else look silly. And it will be fantastic to work alongside, for Chelsea to basically compete with Liverpool. I'm hoping that's going to be a thing. I'm hoping that's going to happen. But will it happen? Who knows? You can't tell in this sort of environment, and you can't tell in today's football game. But you can tell that City have invested very little as well for City standards. It's with Silva gone, they're going to be putting a lot of pressure on Foden, which, as we saw in the news recently, him and Greenwood, girls over football, basically, which obviously at that age, that does come to mind straight away. But at the same time, you're just thinking to yourself, you got yourself kicked off the national team for that. And you got yourself recorded doing it. Probably not the best move, but, you know, we've seen worse in football. And so you've got Manu as well, who've been chasing Sancho this entire time. And I think that their reach is starting to shorten since Alex Ferguson's leave. I feel sad for a couple of my Man U fans, but at the same time, I dislike Man U a lot. But it's nice to see a little bit of rivalry. It's like when you beat somebody at anything, you want them to be at their peak best when you beat them, because you know for a fact, if you're at your peak as well, and you're beating them at that age, that means you have beaten them at their best, and that means that there's this sort of competitive edge that you've had over them, and it's that much more satisfying. That's why beating Man U that nowadays isn't that satisfying, because they're not at their peak best. And it's the same with everything. It's like with any sort of scenario, you want to beat someone at their best. It's like with anything. So we've seen, football, excited. It's been very short break. I imagine most of the footballers are going to be knackered, but they're paid to do this, like any job. Bounce back, you know. The IT sector at the moment has taken a massive hit recently in the stock market. That got a massive hit. That got Tesla, went up and down, volatile. So did a load of other IT companies like Microsoft and Apple. And that was intriguing to see, because these companies have basically been holding the economy together. We've had this massive drop through restaurants, airplanes, banks, all of these sort of sectors have been crumbling, and the IT sector has been holding it together due to the amount of remote workers and also for the amount of product they can put out, as well as Amazon, of course. But for how long can that hold together? That's another interesting question. How long can we see this keep going? How long before the economy either can rises and we get, you know, we keep on the up climb, or we hit another spike, we go into lockdown, the new rule of only six people is coming on the 14th of September. That could be the start of the next sort of second wave. Who knows? Propaganda itself could push this forward. We don't know. But this is the time not to lose your heads. This is the time to be strict. Say, let's go out when we need to. Let's do things. And obviously, I'm the 25-year-old who doesn't know a lot in life and blah, 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 so on. So, you know, but it's just common sense, isn't it? Let's be a little bit smart. Let's be a little bit sensible. Let's think, maybe that other person has something that I don't know about. Maybe that they're staying at home for good reason. And maybe that these companies should think about selling these headquarters and start investing into this remote working. Maybe that might save them a lot of money. Or maybe they're using it for tax returns, which is even worse, which means that they're doing they're keeping people having to travel to and from work, taking these huge commuting times just so that they can get a write-off. And that, I'm hoping this COVID scenario removes immediately. For me personally, I've been saying this to you know, for people for years that remote work is the future, and that, don't get me wrong, it'd be awesome if we could basically create a community of workers so that, like, you have like these massive Zoom calls together where you have sort of no one's talking, but you're working. I've seen this where you have people doing like these 2-hour sessions in silence or headphones on, and they're just doing work, but they like the presence of other people in the room by having their computer on Zoom. That is fascinating. I'd be really intrigued to see if they did a study of a comparison of like the efficiency of work. So between sort of if they are in the office and if they use Zoom and other technologies to be able to get their work done. As a programmer and also somebody who loves technology as a whole, I'm hoping this progresses forward. I'm hoping that we go down that line. But at the same time, there's a lot of resistance, at the moment from companies. I think it was Amazon who stated recently that they want everyone to get on site as soon as possible. And that's shocking coming from a tech slash business sort of distribution business. Because you would think that their greatest success is the fact that they've been able to distribute to people to their homes directly, requiring minimum contact. So their business is boosted via minimum contact. They get more product, they sell more products based off when people are at home. So the question is, why have they stated that? And it's a couple of other companies. And then you've got the opposite, where other big tech companies have stated that they want to go fully remote. So what's the difference? What is going on here? I mean, questions for later. We're going to find out over the coming year, I think, or so. Coupling, you know, this is a massive move. So obviously the next 5 years, we may see transitions. We may not. I can't predict this. I'm just thinking that it would be a smart move for a couple of companies to say goodbye to HQs and go fully remote. But other companies, maybe not. It'll be intriguing to see. So I hope that if one day I have my own company, which is one of my goals, is that we do a little bit of remote work, but we also have a little bit of a base, you know, small building, nothing too fancy, just something where people can meet from once in a while, but they're not forced to. That's the main thing. They're not forced to be there. If people have families and friends and children that need to be looked after, maybe companies should have a little bit of compassion. At the same time, we're here to make money. So there's another one, nice little bit of a dichotomy. We've been talking about that in Jocko's strategy and tactics guide. So there's a nice little highlight for you there to bring that back into base. We'll talk about that in part two. So we talked about, climate change, Joe Rogan, talking about, you know, shenanigans in football, talked about a little bit of the stock and IT sector, people's health, kids are back at school. And universities, that's something that intrigues me. What the point of university for a lot of people, this isn't a good reason, but this is very something that's very common. People go to university for this reason. It's not a good reason, but it is a reason nonetheless, is that they like to party. They like to have a lot of drinking. I did in first year. I remember there was a lot of parties to go to. I went to them, even when I was ill. It was just something you did. But can you do that now? Is first year for this year of students possible? I've got a friend you've met on the second podcast, Jonathan Edwards. He's doing remote work. He's trying to save himself a little bit of money, stay at home with the family, try and get the university degree done from home to be able to, you know, use the funds sensibly. It's a smart move. It's a sensible move, but not everyone's that sensible. So the question is, what are these party goers going to do? They can't get together for more than groups of six. It's not really, that's still a party. But nonetheless, I remember there was parties of like 30 plus people in small apartments. The question there is the university lifestyle sustainable at the moment? Is it going to be possible? I don't know. I'd be intrigued to know, as someone who's a postgraduate now, who's now going into work and doesn't need to worry about that sort of lifestyle anymore. It's questionable because I've had my fun. I've done it. It's over and done with, you know, did it in my early 20s.
A few moments later.
So as I was saying, the university lifestyle, probably not sustainable in today's environment. Let's move on from that. There's one last thing I want to bring up in the news recently that I saw, that for me, for a Star Wars lover, it was really shocking. We've all seen that the sequels for the Star Wars series at the moment, I'm talking about episodes 7, 8, and 9, have been a little bit disordered due to the directors. It was shocking to see recently that Daisy Ridley brought up in an interview that they hadn't written her backstory until the end of episode 9. In episode 7, it was thought that she was a sort of descendant of Obi-Wan Kenobi, and that it was something along the lines that she was going to be a daughter of someone within the Kenobi bloodline, and it was then within number 8 that she was nobody, and that there wasn't a descendancy, and that it, that was just thrown out the window of the idea of Kenobi. And then in episode 9, JJ comes back, and suddenly she's a Palpatine. This all is starting to make sense now. Disney's inability to create consistency across the, as a director, across these three films, has created chaos and also made people dislike the franchise a little bit more. Now, again, we saw this with the prequels. Now, prequels are loved by my age group. They're seen as a little bit funny. There's a lot of silly things in them. There's a lot of funny memes that float around the internet, and they've become beloved because of those silly things. Will the same thing happen for episodes 7, 8, and 9? Are there going to be a similar sort of fondness for the year group below me? That, another question to be asked. For me personally, I really enjoyed episode 7 and 9. They were, number 7 was a carbon copy of New Hope, and number 8 was very similar to episode 5. But nonetheless, episode 9 and 7 did give me a lot of joy to watch. But you can see this sort of inconsistency in the film, and I totally understand why Daisy Ridley has now gone on air and basically stated, like, look, the creators behind this, this is why we didn't get the performance that we wanted at the end of the day. And nowadays, it's coming together. We're starting to realise, okay, not everyone was on board for this. And we saw the same with John Boyega's character, where he was sort of one of the main guys in episode 7. He was in the trailer. He was like the front boy. And then slowly but surely, episode 8 and 9, his character, Finn, was sort of pushed to the side a little bit. Why? Fantastic actor, brilliant. Loved him in Attack of the Block, by the way. If you haven't seen it, watch it. Brilliant little bit of British film. He comes into this film and makes a huge scene, and he's brilliant. Him and his character between him and Han Solo, and him and Han Solo have this brilliant chemistry. And it's great, and we love it. And Harrison Ford and John Boyega are meant to have a little bit of fun. You know, they're meant to be friends in the background. I can see that on screen. So why is his character pushed to the side? I'd love to hear that. And Daisy Ridley, again, well done for going on air. She'll never hear this, but nonetheless, it was fantastic to hear that there's, you know, some sort of reason behind why the character was sort of, there was a lot of mixed emotions towards that character, and why there was this sort of jaggedy line going up and down, like, where's this going? Where is it? What are we getting out of this franchise? So very similar to the sort of dialogue that we get in the prequels, where it was like, what? That doesn't make sense. Like, what? High ground? Where? I'm kidding. That's one of the best lines ever. But anyway, so that's, we've covered all the news. Basically, that's all I wanted to talk about this week. Just a little sort of me venting, being a hypocrite about venting towards people, then telling people not to vent at people, and then venting on camera. You know, whatever. Doesn't matter. That's, you know, sometimes you become what you fear. Oh, God, I've just become a Star Wars meme. Anyway, so the plan for the podcast for the next 5 podcasts is this. So episode 6, we'll be talking about animation with a guest. Episode 7, we'll be doing part 2 of Strategy and Tactics Guide, which I'm excited to go through again, because I talked to a friend, he liked that, and he also thought that the topics within it are very meaningful, and I totally agree with them. We'll be talking to, in episode 8, a guest with a talking about the film industry. And then in episode 9, we'll be doing a feature of the Two Towers again. Hopefully, we'll do, depending on the guest again, whether he'll be available or not. But nonetheless, we'll be analysing the Two Towers. I rewatched it the other day, forgot how much I love that film. It's the worst of the three, but it's still just one of those films. It's still better than any of the sequels of Star Wars recently. It's probably one of the best films of all time, but it's the weakest of the three Lord of the Rings films. Forgot how much I loved it. Forgot that there's so many scenes in that I did love. And then episode 10, sorry, my God, we're already, you know, thinking into those realms. We'll be doing another one of these, a little bit of, you know, news, a little bit of me chatting shit and, you know, back and forth, and you listening to me sort of rattle on about different topics and different news and a little bit of sport, a little bit of fitness, a little bit of everything. And that's the plan so far. And I've already planned out episodes 11, 12, 13, and 14 and 15. They'll start recording soon. And then 20 onwards is a little bit like they're planned, but they're, you know, flexible to see where we're going from there. It's exciting stuff. I'm loving this process. I'm hoping that you're going to follow along with me and enjoy the sort of structure that I've got at the moment, where we're going through books, films. I might even venture into music at some point, although that's a very specific, very it's from person to person, so we might get a little bit lost in that, but nonetheless, I think there's so much to cover. This is why I think that we can cover all sorts of topics on this, and make it enjoyable, a little bit of fun, a little bit of sometimes I'm chucking in some serious topics there, but also at the end of the day, it's a little bit of light-hearted conversation, a little bit of something that we can all share in, and, you know, have some thought about the world that we're in at the moment. And it's a brilliant world. For everyone who thinks it's not, get your eyes together, buck your ideas up, as some of my older friends say, and my teachers, buck your ideas up, lad, get them together, because there's so much opportunity out there. And this has come from the guy, you know, who's been given, I've been super lucky in my lifetime. So I am probably not the best person to talk, but nonetheless, I still think for everybody, there's so much opportunity, there's so much greatness out there to achieve, and this is what it's all about. And as much as I've just fed into a little bit of grandstand talking there, let's end it on a high note. Let's, you know, enjoy what's to come. I really hope you listen to the next up and coming episodes. They've been so much fun to film. I think you're going to really enjoy them. And so this has been a Taylor's Tales podcast. This is Chris's Corner. I'm your host, Chris Taylor, and I hope I'll see you next week.